the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We will continue for a moment with these services. And I thought to read from the book of Revelation, the second chapter, a few verses. They are, in Jesus' name, as follows. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and they are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This text that we read brings us back to 2,000 years ago, about. And John is the writer of this letter. And it is thought that John was an apostle, and he was on an island, the Patmos Island. And history tells us that this island, it was a penal colony, and criminals were brought there. And John ended up there as well, not because he was a criminal, but because he preached the gospel of God. Because of this gospel work, he ended up there. But we are comforted in the beginning of this book of Revelation, because God did not leave John there alone. He may have been lonely there, but on the day of the Lord, on the day that the Lord rose up, he heard behind him and he saw a vision. What was this vision? He saw someone who looked like the Son of God with these candlesticks. And in one hand, there were seven golden stars. Imagine, John was there alone, and he was given this vision. Jesus, who gave John this task to write to the seven congregations, and he explained what these seven stars were and these seven golden candlesticks. The seven candlesticks, they were the seven congregations of Minor Asia. And those seven stars were the angels of those congregations of Minor Asia. Just imagine. Five of these seven angels that Jesus told John to write about, they were told to repent. They were in the good care of the Savior, just as though they were in the palm of his hand. The Savior did not leave them in those con in that condition in which they were. Instead, he told John to write this letter so that they could remain in faith. They could keep this treasure of faith that they had received in their hearts. And the first of the letters was written to the congregation of Ephesians. This Ephesus was a very large city. Ruins stand today, and they have tried to reconstruct the city. And from this reconstruction work, we can see that it was a large city. And in this city, there was a small congregation. And Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years. And he was there teaching and telling the congregation about God and about Jesus Christ. And he brought the saving word to these people there. And so this small congregation was there in the middle of this very large city. We have temptations today, and back then they also had temptations. And we can see this from the letter that was written to the angel of Ephesus. Here it is written that I know thy works and thy labor. Jesus knows all. Peter testified to this. After Jesus rose up to heaven, and the disciples saw Jesus, and Peter rushed to see Jesus. And Jesus asked, "Do you love me, Simon Jonah? Do you love me?" 3 times he asked. And Peter 3 times said, "I love you." And Peter at the end said, "You know all. You know that I love you." And here Peter testified that Jesus knew everything. And Jesus knew. God knows everything. Here Jesus says to the angel of the church of Ephesus, that I know thy works and thy labor. And this angel was a servant for this congregation. And he had responsibility in this congregation. He worked hard. The apostle writes about this congregation. And in the letter to Timothy, Paul writes that the kingdom of God, the congregation of God, is a pillar and foundation. Is a pillar. This seems to be a fitting description. What does this mean? That this the angel of the church of Ephesus was also a pillar of the congregation. And in this city, there are statues. And the statues were of the Caesars. And the pillar is what was as the foundation of the statue. So this is a kind of parable that shows what is the responsibility or job of a congregation. The congregation keeps Christ out in the open, or shows Christ It is to bring the gospel forward, the congregation of God. The head of this congregation is Jesus Christ, and we all are members in this body, and each one of us has an important responsibility here. It is as a statue of truth and foundation. Jesus said, I am the way, the light, and the life. And this also illustrates how important this statue of truth is. For we bring forth the truth about Christ. And Luther also wrote about this congregation of God, that whoever wants to find Christ, he must first find the congregation of Christ that preaches about Christ. It is so important, this congregation of God. The task of this congregation is to bring forward the gospel of God. We do not bring this forwards in just any way, but it is brought forwards in the right way according to the doctrine. The angel of Ephesus, he struggled to bring forth we remember in the Acts of the Apostles. In the midst of your congregation, wolves will come forward that will tear and destroy. And Jesus knew that this angel was patient and had discovered people in the congregation who were liars. And he had hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. This group was a kind of heresy who preached in the wrong way and tried to bring a different doctrine into the congregation. Many times from the world, different ideas may come forward. And this angel of Ephesus was struggling with this group. And Jesus said here that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He didn't hate the people, just the deeds. Jesus loved the people. He gave his life on their behalf as well. But what these people were doing in the midst of the Christians, Jesus could not accept. And Jesus says here, that we cannot accept the wrong teaching. But there was something here that Jesus said. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What was this love? He didn't mean this personal love. This was a much larger love, the love for God, the love that God had for people. And so we also have to find that love for one another. And Jesus said that it is your love that you have one for another, that you will be known for this. We know that our flesh and blood often makes it difficult to find this love. But this love is one of the first gifts of grace. Faith, hope, and love. But love is the most important of them all. We have hope for eternal life. And we have faith. And love is that which will carry us to the destination. This angel of the congregation had lost this love. The congregation needed this love, and when this love is gone, then you have lost everything. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. What was this work that the angel of the church of Ephesus should have done? Didn't Paul write that you are saved through grace, not works? Paul was talking that we cannot get our salvation through our own works, but instead we must believe the gospel. This gospel has been preached here and will be preached. Today we had a sunny day and the ground is wet because it has rained, but it has been sunny, and there is another sun that has been shining here, and this is the sun of grace, and we have been able to be in these rays of grace. You remember when the Bible talks of a wall that had to be built, and everyone worked together to create this wall. And the materials used were quite weak. Outsiders laughed and said, "That will not create a strong wall." But each member gave something to this wall, and everyone participated in the building of this wall. Each person in the kingdom of God has their own task. Every grandmother and grandfather, and even you, you who may be thinking, "Why doesn't the Heavenly Father take me home?" You have an important task. Maybe your task is to talk to your neighbor or your grandchildren. You also are doing the work of the gospel. Every one of us has a place. And when that wall was completed and those gates were opened, always when the sun shone, and it was then that one could enter the city of Jerusalem, and here the gates are open. The sun of grace is shining here. And if here in our midst is such a person who feels that I am not a part of this, this invitation is for you. Believe the gospel onto your own heart, for your sins are forgiven in the name and atoning precious blood of Jesus. Come through the gate to the city of Jerusalem. We are cared for here. We are carried here. There is no so large a sin that it could not be forgiven. All sins are forgiven here. This is that first work, that love of God. This is what the angel of the congregation of Ephesus had lost. And Jesus said, I will take the candlestick from you, except thou repent. Oh, those who reject God. But oh, woe, those that God rejects. What does this mean if the candlestick is taken out of place? If we fall into sin and we begin to struggle against the kingdom of God, it may be so that our sight will be darkened, and this congregation of God, this understanding or sight of this congregation may be lost. We are just people, and we all have failings, and we are all wandering and making journey with two parts, that old part and also that wedding garment, that righteous garment, which is white as snow. And Jesus, God sees us in this beautiful white garment through the atoning work of Jesus. God does not see that those sins. We have been able to believe the gospel and wash away those sins. We always have a white, clean garment. We are always acceptable unto heaven. Isn't this amazing? At the same time, we are bad and yet good. There are so many examples of this. I remember from my childhood a case. My father told me that a person had went into a heresy, and he began to struggle against the congregation of God with strong weapons. But when he was dying on his deathbed, he said, I would have so much to talk about, but he could not, for God had closed the door or the gate for that person, and he could not find his way back. It is important that when God is calling, when God is talking to us through a brother or a sister, that we would listen with humble ears. As another angel of another congregation was prescribed eye ointment so that he could see that he in himself was weak and sinful and would not bring himself high up, that he would see his place and that he would repent of his sins. It is important that we are obedient to such a call. Well, are we saved? when we repent of our sins? No. It is grace that saves us. As Paul wrote, many times it is grace through which you are saved, but we are advised to ask for forgiveness for sins so that we could remain in faith, that we could have strength to continue making journey on this narrow road. In this way, God cares for us in His congregation. And in this way, we can be comforted and in good care. And we are ending these evening services now. And this gospel is here in the midst of us. And Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am too. We can, as children, believe we are here in a large quantity. And the Lord Jesus, He is here in our midst, caring for us. And this goes to you too, who are listening to the radio. You may be alone. Jesus sees you too. He is there as your comfort. This gospel belongs to you too. Your sins are forgiven. Believe in the name and precious atoning blood. All your sins and temptations forgiven. Unto peace, freedom, and joy. Believe all your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Believe all your sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Unto peace, freedom, and joy. Unto peace, freedom, and joy. And when we believe in this way, we have great promises to look forward to. And John asks later in this book of Revelation, he asks, what is that great crowd of people? And Jesus answered and said that those are those people who washed away their sins in the blood of Jesus and now wear a white garment. We are in that group of people, and we are waiting for our call to that destination. We have good things to look forward to. I too would wish to believe my sins and doubts forgiven. I promise to believe, and I want to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. We will join in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service day. We thank you for these beautiful, temporal, sunny moments. We thank you that you have protected us. Be here opening your word at this services so that every person who hungers would be fed. Open this kingdom of grace to those who are not yet a part of this kingdom so that they could own this. Bless the coming days. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.